You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura, live in the Dog Bowl. It is my pleasure to bring on the Ohio Business Machine Hotline, former teammate of mine, NFL Network and Fox NFL analyst, former NFL All-Pro, lights out, Sean Merriman. What's up, dude?
What's up, my man? How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. It's exciting to have you on, and for a lot of reasons, simply because the Cleveland Browns are in the market for a pass rusher. We sit at number 12, which is exactly where you got drafted. And my first question for you is, what was the draft process like for you? What was the likelihood that you knew you were going to San Diego? And, you know, what was your reaction knowing you were going out west?
Well, actually, you know, I thought I was going to Dallas originally. I took a visit out there to the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones had told me, he said, look, if you're around the 12th pick, I mean, 11th pick, we'll get you. So now my family had the Dallas Cowboy hat, jerseys and everything. And, you know, I also took the visit out to San Diego and spoke with A.J. Smith. And A.J. Smith didn't think that I was going to be around for the 12th pick and thought I'd be off the board before 10 or 12. And I was still around. And my first time to the West Coast, San Diego, from where I came from, turned out to be a pretty good place to play.
It's kind of fun. We had a little bit of fun, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit of fun.
Before we get into discussing these edge rusher prospects in this draft, Sean, I want a good Wilhelm story.
Well, I'll tell you, he overcharged me for the number I had to buy from him for $20,000.
Yes, I did.
I think he wanted around $30,000. I talked him down to $20,000, and I think it was still too high, but it was worth it.
But you got the number.
A classic Free Willy.
That's
there
right.
It is.
Absolutely.
Selling numbers to lights out Sean Merriman. Unbelievable, Matt.
Sean, again, leading up to these drafts, you know, 20-some-odd prospects are going to be, you know, live in Chicago, able to walk the stage and start their NFL journey. Again, when your name was called, you know, what was that process like? You know, how happy were you to be going to San Diego? And also, too, what were your expectations for yourself as a rookie in your first year in the NFL?
Well, I was extremely excited because, you know, San Diego just come off a really big year. They were 12-4 the big year. They had a big turnaround. I think the year before that, they were 4-12. So I was coming at it a good time. And I was also part of the trade with Phillip Rivers and Nate Kaden because Eli Manning had went to the Giants. So I turned out being a part of that trade and it turned out to be a really good deal. And when I was doing the draft, I was getting phone calls from friends, and I didn't understand why they were calling me during one of the most important times of my life. And picking up the phone, and finally, Marty Schottenheimer had called me and said, hey, you ready to be a San Diego Chargers? And I simply said to him, I said, are you ready to bring me out there? Because I'm ready to go and play. And it was great. It was some of the best experiences of my life, friends and family around, and then going out and having the career I did in San Diego.
Sean, there are a lot of edge rushers in this draft expected to go early. You know, Dante Fowler at the top of that list. Who are some of the guys that you like? Because there are a lot of guys that seem to be controversial, whether it be a Shane Ray, Bud Dupree, Randy Gregory, for various reasons, and the evaluations are all over the place. Who do you like as an edge rusher in this class?
Well, I think Fowler and Shane Ray is going to go pretty early. They'll probably be off the board, top 10, top 12. But I really think the steal of the draft, and hopefully he doesn't slip, is Randy Gregory. I got a chance to spend time with him out there, and I know what he's capable of doing. Obviously, he had the slip up with the positive test that came up. But if he doesn't slip in the draft, I think you know, the Cleveland can really use a guy who can play the 3-4 defense. You can bring him off the line, bring him off the edge on both sides of the ball, and he plays a jack position in college, so you can really utilize him all over the field. It doesn't matter; he's that athletic. I told him when we talked before he needs to put on a little bit of weight to get to the next level. I think he's around about 245. But he's just a tremendous athlete. He can play all over the field, and Cleveland will be a good look for him.
We're joined by Lights Out Sean Merriman, NFL veteran, all-pro football player, outside linebacker for the San Diego Chargers and the Buffalo Bills. Sean, the one other question that I want to ask you that a lot of our callers here in Cleveland have consistent questions about when it comes to draft prospects is a guy transitioning from the college game as a defensive end with his hand on the ground, or as you said, that jack position in that like lateral two-point stance, to an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense, which you, of course, did very, very well. But talk about how much more cerebral you have to be and the understanding of what's going on around you. Simply just rush the passer or make a play and control your gap.
Well, it's a big adjustment. And, you know, I had the luxury of standing up my whole entire career in San Diego and maybe dropping my hands down on a nickel or dime set. We're just coming off the edge and third down. But when you put your hand in the dirt as opposed to DN, it's just a different world. Now you have a guy, a tackle, a tight end, or maybe both right there in your face. You're forced to play a six technique head over tight end, and your lateral movement is different. When you're a 3-4 outside linebacker, you're standing up, you're seeing the entire field. You have to know certain formations and sets. You know what plays are coming. You drop in coverage. So it's a little bit more you have to go to. And I can remind myself how DeMarcus Ware played down in college, and now he had to stand up in the 3-4 defense when he was with the Cowboys. And he struggled with that early on because it's that much of adjustment. I actually had to put my hand in the dirt when I got to Buffalo and play a 4-3 defense. And I absolutely struggled early on because I've never done it before in my life.
And that's an interesting transition. It's one that Barkevious Mingo of the Browns has had to try to make. He was a 4-3 DN at LSU. His two seasons in the NFL have not gone with maybe where you would have hoped they would as a former number 6 overall pick. What do you think of Mingo's game, and do you think he has what it takes to develop into one of those elite pass rushers off the edge?
No question. And when you have that much ability, a guy just used to making plays. And he's a guy who can just go out and make plays. You put him in a position to make the plays, he's going to do it. Everybody's going to have that adjustment to the speed, to the strength, and the intelligence of these offensive linemen. When you get to that level, you're going to struggle with that part of it. But when you're a playmaker, that happens. You put a guy on the field and you put him in a position to make plays, he has that, he can go out and get it done.
Sean, a lot is being said about Marcus Mariota maybe going second overall to the Tennessee Titans. Multiple teams moving up to number 2 to take Marcus Mariota. Having lived out there on the West Coast, you know, the Oregon Ducks, you know, own the Pac-12. What is your synopsis of him as a quarterback, and how do you think him playing in that spread Oregon offense will transfer into the National Football League?
I think it'll work well. It's about 11 or 12 teams that have that kind of offense. He has the ability to throw the ball down the field and get away from you. He doesn't need too much of a scheme. He doesn't need to go into an RG3 type of deal. He has the arm. He has the athletic ability to get away from you, throw it at the right time. I don't know if he'll go that early to number 2. I think it was a lot of speculation because Phillip Rivers was possibly talked about going there, so they need a quarterback. For Winston, obviously, is going to go number 1 to Tampa Bay, I believe. But for Mariota to jump up there to number 2, I think there's a little bit of a stretch, even though they do need a quarterback.
I agree, and the price to get up there certainly for the Browns would be steep, as we're talking with Sean Merriman, former San Diego Charger, former 12th overall pick, teammate of our guy Matt Wilhelm here. Sean, when you look at this Browns team just in general and your work as an analyst for NFL Network, of course, Fox, what do you think are the biggest needs this team carries into this draft, taking quarterback out of it?
That's one of the things I was going to say. Obviously they need some of the wide receivers to stay on the field. But the defense, as long as you got a defense, they're going to be in it every single game. They have a chance to be in every single game because of the stellar defense they have. It's a few key missing parts in the offensive line. They need to get probably a more of a steady running back situation back there. But it's hard to say what the main problem is when the quarterback situation coming into the season could be your number 1 problem.
Sean, my last question for you is, and I'll be asking some of the prospects as they walk into the NFL draft tomorrow there in Chicago, and you were in this situation. It's, what would you like to say to an NFL general manager or head coach this close to the NFL draft to make one final impression so that you could potentially end up a part of their franchise?
Just tell them how much you want to give to the team and how much you're willing to put in and do anything to win. Because that's what the general managers want to hear. That's what the organizations want to hear. What are you willing to give up and lay on the line in order to go out and get us better as an organization, a better team? How great you can be as a teammate, and how much you're willing to learn? Because that's what it's all about going into your first year.
Awesome, Sean. Thank you so much for your time, bro, and I'll have to get out the West Coast so we can kick it again.
Okay, you got it, my man.
All right, man. That was Sean Merriman, All-Pro, NFL Network analyst, Fox Sports analyst as well. And again, I wanted to get him simply because he was drafted 12th overall.
He's good.
He knows edge rushers, which is great. He knows edge rushers, and that's the one thing. The Nate Orchard is the potential pick that in the third round. But he's played a lot with his hand on the ground, and I wanted someone who's been there and done that and made that transition and walk us through his draft perspective going first round, which I definitely did not.
How did those negotiations go when you were selling him that number?
I came
in 55,
56,
56.
And then I sold 56. I was given 56. And then I.
So that was like when you found out that he came in, you had no idea. And then when he comes in and he's like, yo, I need 56.
Well, and here's the reason why LeVar Arrington was one of his idols, you know, growing up in the Washington, D.C. area. He was 56 with the Redskins. And so we wanted, and of course, Lawrence Taylor and then LeVar Arrington wore 56. So we wanted 56. And I had been given 56 as a rookie. And he's drafted the next year. He, you know, is like two lockers down from me. He makes mention of him wanting my number. And I'm like, all right, yeah, okay, cool. So then I started calling everybody, and I want as many perspectives as I could get on what I should come in. I mean, some guy was like, just have him give you a 7 Series BMW. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's a different day and age. Believe me, it's not. So then ultimately, I think I came in initially. I was like, give me 40 grand. And he just literally turned around and walked away, didn't even say anything. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe it was a little too high. And I was like, give me 30. And he's just like, so he's like, give me a week to think about it. So then he came, it was literally, we were playing the Minnesota Vikings at the Metrodome. And he walks up to, and he was, I think it was maybe his finger or toe. He was not playing. And he walks up to me, he goes 20 and it's my final offer. And I'm like fully clothed, like fully in uniform playing in the preseason game. And I'm like, deal. So like right there, you know, I remember like it was yesterday.
So he just gives you, then he gives you a check for 20 grand.
I did him, you know, due diligence. I let him give me 10 out of when he received his first bonus, which was obviously multiple millions of dollars. And then I actually deferred the other 10 until he received his next bonus. So I did myself.
What did you do with that money?
I don't even know. Threw it in a bank account, did something stupid with it, I'm sure.
Phenomenal. All right, we're still rolling here. 216-578-0850 is the way to call us up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Do you want to do this Mariota trade? Let us know. Still to come, Ross Tucker at 2:30 here. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.